Well, howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and this is part of a special week of interviews. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you give us a greater desire for your word so that our desire for you would increase more and more? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today we have a special guest, John Stonge, a husband, father, pastor, and podcaster. John's a busy man who wears a lot of hats, but I wanted to introduce you to him because of the podcast he produces in connection to reading the Bible. They're the Chapter a Day Audio Bible and the Informal Bible Study. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Darren. It's good to be here.
Man, I'm so glad to have you on the show. We were just talking before we hit record. You know, I see your podcast show up in the related links when I go and check on my podcast and things like that. And I've seen you for a while, and I so appreciate what you do. You internet real good out there, and I wanted to have you on the show. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What are some of those hats that you do wear?
Well, first, thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure to get to meet you and talk to you. So let's see some of the hats that I wear. Well, I'm a husband. My wife and I have been married for a little over 20 years. My wife's name is Andrea, and the Lord's blessed us with four kids. We have two girls and two boys. I have been pastoring full time for the past 20 years. And I pastor a church in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, called Core Creek Community Church. I also direct a ministry that's focused on church planting, and that ministry board's called the National Mission Board. And I guess a few other things on the side. Just enjoy making podcasts and writing books and producing blog content and things like that to help people grow in their walk with Christ. So that'd be the main things in a nutshell, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was looking up on your website, and you're not an author of some books. You're an author of a whole mess of books.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do. I really enjoy – I always feel like you can spend your life watching TV, or you could spend your time doing something productive. And so a lot of times when I'm sitting down in the evening, if I have some quiet time, I'll think, all right, you know, I'm just gonna write out some things here that I've been outlining or studying, and I usually feel better about how I'm using my time if I'm doing that other than watching TV or you know, something less productive, I guess. Although sometimes I'm more than happy to be unproductive too. Trying to keep a balance, but yeah, that's one of my favorite things.
Well, with four kids and, like I said, as many hats as you wear, you know, churning out the amount of content that you've done is pretty remarkable.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm grateful to know that the people are using it too.
Yeah, that kind of leads into the first question I really wanted to ask you is with all the things that you can do, you know, you're pastoring your church, you're leading these other ministries, and you got a lot of things going on, family and ministry and all that kind of stuff. Why do you spend so much time and effort to produce, I like to call it quote unquote new media content, especially about the Bible? What is it that drives you to produce these podcasts and these books and what you do?
Well, so I guess in a nutshell, it just springs from how much I value my walk with Christ and how much I value Christ being Lord of my life, and realizing that if the Lord's given me opportunities and ideas or gifts to be used in certain areas, I want to be using them. And it's nice. I think it's nice to have a diversion in the sense of like a hobby or something like that. And
yeah,
somewhere along the way, I discovered that my hobby time could also be used to help other people know Christ. And I started doing just a couple things here or there, and it kind of built over time. And when you get feedback from people, it kind of eggs you on to continue doing it. When you hear from people that live in places that you probably will never visit. Yeah. And you think, wow, somebody in this part of the world is listening to a podcast I produced or reading something that I wrote and giving me feedback that it was useful to them or that it encouraged them, it really does egg me on to continue doing that. So it's a nice diversion. I feel like it complements just, you know, how I believe the Lord's called me to use my life. And it really does, you know, scripture tells us that it's better to give than it is to receive. So that's true. It brings me joy to know that something that I'm spending time on really does help somebody else in their walk with Christ. So I look forward to doing it. It doesn't feel like a task. It doesn't feel like work to me at this point.
That's awesome. What was the point where you felt like, holy cow, people are listening and engaging, you know, with this? How long have you been doing it when you really felt like you gained traction with it?
Well, let's see. So the background on it was, you know, I forget, maybe about 15 years ago, I wrote my first book. And I wrote it at the same time that I was the announcer for a Christian radio station up in Northeast Pennsylvania. And I kind of discovered in that process that I enjoyed both of those things. But that was before I'd ever heard of podcasts or anything. And it was also before it was easy to disseminate your book. There weren't ebooks as well, I guess they existed, but they weren't as common.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it wasn't something that happened a whole lot. I just knew that I liked doing it. And then a few years ago, I discovered podcasts and would listen to podcasts about a whole bunch of things. And to be honest with you, I started listening to them when I was going through a season where I was feeling overly anxious and was having a hard time sleeping at night. And I thought, why am I feeling overly anxious? And I noticed that certain podcasts I would listen to actually helped me to sleep at night because I was taking my mind off of myself and sometimes just listening to someone else's story or details about someone else's walk with Christ. Or sometimes I'd even just listen to podcasts that were biographies of world leaders or things like that. Just something that kind of got my mind off of some of the things that were producing some anxiety for me. And after a while, I thought, well, I have the equipment to do this stuff. And as a side thing, just for some side income, I often do voiceover work for, you know, some different videographers. And I thought, well, why don't I start producing some podcast content and seeing, you know, see if anyone might be interested in listening to it. So I actually started with a leadership podcast and produced a series on that. But then after a while, I sort of felt like I had run out of the things that I had wanted to say. It was pretty much like, all right, that's kind of what I know about leadership. And I thought, okay, maybe the wells run dry on that. But then another habit that I've followed for years is each day I'll just take the scriptures and I'll read one chapter. And I try not to overcomplicate it or tell myself that I have to read it in, you know, like a major section, like the whole Old Testament in 2 days or something like that.
Yeah.
It just, you know, I'd wake up, I'd read a portion of scripture and I'd start my day. And I thought maybe I should record this. And I started recording it with the thought that my kids would listen to it in the morning when they were getting ready and might listen to it on their bus ride to school. And then I thought, no, this, let me just make this into a podcast because this is the type of podcast I thought I would use. And yeah. I thought, well, let me just make it. And a few months into it, I had a day where just all of a sudden my listenership, and I don't know what caused it, it spiked quite a bit. And it's just continued to do well since then. So, you know, maybe a few months in, maybe about 6 months into recording it, I started to notice that it was gaining traction. And, you know, again, like I said earlier, it just kind of encourages you to keep doing it. So it didn't gain traction immediately.
Yeah.
But it was something I enjoyed doing and several people I knew were using it. But then after a while, it started to catch on.
That's awesome. I love the fact that, you know, it's so cool when we do things, you know, like that, where we're like, I'm going to do this for my kids. And then like, heck, why not just throw it out there for everybody? And,
right.
And lo and behold, there's people out there that are searching for that kind of stuff and finding it and telling their friends about it. And man, aren't you glad that you jumped in and did it?
Oh, very glad. Yeah.
Well, what why do you think it's important for people to read their Bibles?
Well, multiple times throughout the scriptures, when you look through them, the Lord makes it abundantly clear that the scriptures are pointing us to Him. The scriptures are pointing us to Christ. And so we learn more about our Lord. I think our relationship with Him deepens. We feel healthy conviction about things that He wants us to experience conviction about. We gain wisdom just for our day-to-day lives. We avoid making needless errors by going in a direction with our lives that we shouldn't go in. Our faith is encouraged, and all of these things are benefits that come from being in the scriptures. And I know scripture points this out, and I believe this just in a practical sense, that when we're in the scriptures, we're less likely to be deceived by just the foolishness that surrounds us sometimes.
Yeah.
And our perspective on life, our perspective toward other people, it changes, it's transformed, and we begin to see ourselves and others and life in general from God's perspective. And that definitely makes a difference. And He's revealed all this to us in His Word, and He's given us greater access to it than any generation that's come before us. And I look at it and I think, why waste the access to it that we've been given? You know, we can get the scriptures digitally, we can print them up and send them around, we can listen to them audibly. And what a blessing to live during this generation right now when we have such easy access to the Word of God.
It is amazing the amount of access that we have. And, you know, I wasn't there in the 1700s and the 1800s.
Me neither.
You know,
so no.
I don't know that I can say this, and I'm not sure how good the data is on it, but it just seems like we've got all of this access, and there's more biblical illiteracy nowadays than ever before. Is that your experience?
It seems that way, and I think a big part of that is, you know, just the cultural component where we have so many distractions around us too.
Yeah.
I mean, we have all sorts of things that are just mindless forms of entertainment or ways that we busy ourselves that really don't have any meaning or purpose behind it. And you know, if the culture of the home doesn't emphasize that, then, you know, the lifestyle or, you know, what we value isn't going to emphasize it either. And when you look back, at least anecdotally, right, when we look back, you know, a few centuries ago, it seems like culturally speaking, people were into the scriptures. You know, they were at least familiar with them, whether they coupled their knowledge with belief is I guess a second, you know, question in a sense. But they, I mean, when you look at just general literature or quotes from notable leaders, you know, they often reference scripture. It was very much part of the home.
Yeah. Yeah. That I think that all of those distractions and, you know, even on the devices that we have access to God's Word, our phones and computers and everything, you know, it's wonderful that we have that access, but we also have distractions on those same devices, which
definitely
it's a mixed bag. You know, it's awesome that we have all of this, but at the same time, it's like, man, everywhere
it's almost like overload.
Yeah. We don't just have, you know, like the old Bruce Springsteen song, you know, 57 channels and nothing on. We've got
right.
500 channels and then 10 million websites, and you know, there's no end to what we have access to now.
Exactly. Yeah.
What do you think is the how does listening to the Bible, you know, because people tune into your podcast and they listen to you read one chapter at a time, and you know, typically you've got you read the chapter and you do a little prayer at the end, and then, you know, that's it. What do you think is the power of listening to the Bible?
So one of the things that, I'll step back one half step. And say, one of the things I noticed when our kids were young, when we would read to our kids, they would get silent and they really enjoyed it, whether it was my wife who read to my kids a lot or whether it was me. It was something our kids really enjoyed. And it seemed like you know, they were sitting and they were listening and they were focused in on that. And so I thought, all right, well, they seem to respond well to hearing, whether it be a book or the scripture read. So I thought, all right, let's do this in podcast form. And I know for many people, that's something that as they're getting ready, doing other things, that they're able to do, almost like combining their efforts to be able to listen to the scriptures. But I just think it hits us in an additional sense. So we could read the scriptures and we see things visually, and that certainly helps. And we can listen to the scriptures and we can hear things audibly. And I just think it's just another way to, in a sense, you know, utilize the senses that the Lord's given us to interact with the Word of God. And it makes a difference, you know, in our lives. When you look at what Scripture tells us, it tells us that just the importance about the necessity of hearing the Word of God. You know, somebody's got to go and speak it. Somebody's got to go share it if someone's going to come to know the Lord. And so there's just something about hearing God's word that seems to fit with how he's designed us. And I believe, you know, that as you're sharing in your podcast about the scriptures and helping people understand them, and I'm trying to share the scriptures in my podcast as well, you know, I truly believe that the Lord uses that to impact people's hearts and their walk with him, and that he opens people's eyes by the power of his Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, what a lot of people don't know, that for 1,000 years or more, you know, most people on planet Earth were illiterate. And, and because there was no printing press and things like that, a copy of the Bible was rare and expensive. And, and most people's only, encounter with scripture was hearing it read on Sunday mornings, you know, as baked into the liturgy of the church for 1,000 years, that there was a regular cycle of reading, you know, so if you showed up every week, you know, for 3 years or whatever it was, you'd actually hear the whole Bible over that period of time. And then, you know, it would start over. And so I've seen a resurgence in the last several years of people actually engaging with scripture, listening to it. And so I love what you're doing so much in that way, because I think there is it feels like it accesses a different part of our brain and it touches a different part of us when we hear something as opposed to just reading it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I think reading, it's valuable. I think reading is valuable.
Of course. But
I know for me, I'll go a period of time where I'll be, you know, reading, and then for whatever reason, I'm getting distracted or I'm having trouble and I can't focus. And I'm like, you know what? I have access to so many ways to have this read to me. It's wonderful.
Right.
And so, you know, I appreciate resources like yours. well, let me ask you this. What's your favorite book of the Bible?
That changes. it really does. So if you asked me, so when I was a new Christian, and I still tend to gravitate toward this, I liked reading Matthew's gospel, particularly the Sermon on the Mount. So, you know, chapter 5, 6, 7, that section of Matthew's gospel, I would say, if you asked me, you know, at one point, that was my favorite. And then I really started to get just highly into the wisdom literature. So, you know, like Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, that became my favorite. And then somewhere along the way, I became kind of fascinated with the book of Hebrews. And I think because there were a lot of things in there that at first read, I'd read them and I'd think, wait, I have no idea what that's talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody talks about Revelation as being kind of the book that, you know, when they read it, they are wondering, you know, hey, what's that talking about? You know, what's that all about?
Yeah.
And, but for me, it was the book of Hebrews was really, it seemed to be the one that, you know, that tended to fit that kind of description. And so the more I got into it, just out of curiosity, then that kind of became my favorite. And so I guess in a way that might be where I've landed right now. But if you ask me in another year, it'll probably be something different.
Yeah, I love the Book of Hebrews. That's actually the book that I'm going to be doing next on the podcast after we finish Genesis.
That's great.
And I'm right with you there. You know, the more I read it, the more I was just like, what on earth is it?
What does that mean?
What are angels? Why is he like talking about angels so much, you know?
Right.
And I actually had the opportunity several years ago to start reading bits and pieces of the Talmud. I wouldn't encourage it unless you're just highly motivated. But anyone listening, it's not necessary reading, but it's interesting, just because of, it opened my eyes to a Hebrew perspective specifically on the Book of Hebrews. It was really enlightening, when going through Hebrews, having read some of the Talmud to kind of get a perspective of where they were coming from.
Right.
But
yeah, puts things in a little more context.
But it's still a wild book.
Yeah, yeah. But it's great though. And just to see, as the writer of Hebrews is trying to show us multiple ways and with multiple examples, the fact that Jesus Christ is superior.
Yeah,
all throughout the book, Jesus is superior. You know, he's superior to all these. All these things that people throughout the centuries have even attempted to idolize, and we see the superiority of Christ and the necessity of Christ's presence in our lives. And so I love that about the Book of Hebrews.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, John. Do you think, and different people have different ideas on this, so I'd love to get your perspective. Do you think there's a difference between reading and studying the Bible?
A difference between reading and studying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think there is a difference between reading and studying, because I think sometimes this is how I'd put it in my mind. If I'm reading the Bible, I might not be pausing to think about something. But one of the things that helped me when I was a new believer and I was starting to get into the scriptures was actually studying the Bible, in the sense that when I would come across something in the scriptures that I wasn't familiar with or didn't understand, I'd put a little question mark next to it in pencil in my Bible. I just put a little question mark. And then at the end of looking at whatever section I was in, then I'd try and find the answers to what I was looking for. And I'd use different resources and things like that to kind of follow up on a passage and learn a bit about the background or what some of the words meant. Mm-hmm. One of the other useful things, so I got serious about my faith when I was 15, but one of my favorite things to do at that time was during the week, I'd write down any question I had about the scriptures and I'd bring it to my Sunday school teacher.
Wow.
Who was my pastor's wife was my Sunday school teacher. She taught the teen class at my church. And I started to come with a whole bunch of questions to ask her. And finally, she thought, all right, you know what? Like, how about this? How about you write your questions down for me and then give me a week to actually have a chance to look at these things instead of trying to just berate me with all these questions, every week. And for a long stretch, our Sunday school class included a lot of the questions that I'd come up with throughout the week. And it was a real blessing to have a Sunday school teacher that actually took the time.
That's awesome.
To do that. She didn't brush it off, and I'm still friends with her to this day, and just was really grateful that I had somebody like that. And this was in the days before the internet, where I could just easily look things up. I didn't own a whole bunch of books at age 15 that were useful tools. Those were things that kind of came along later, but at age 15, I had my Sunday school teacher, and she helped me when I started studying the scriptures.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it really was helpful. Very encouraging at that time.
So now, as you're going through it, and I'm asking you this because you have, these two podcasts, where one where you're just reading and you're not offering any commentary or anything like that. And then your other podcast is a Bible study where you're going through smaller bits of it at a time and kind of breaking it down. Mm-hmm. And so do you find it helpful to just, you know, just have times where you only read and you're not necessarily trying to dig in or anything like that, versus actually, you know, going a little bit deeper? Or does it all kind of bleed together for you?
No, I think both are helpful. I mean, there's plenty of times where I just want to just hear the scriptures and then, you know, just kind of meditate on them. And it's nice even when I'm driving, you know, to be able to just take a moment and listen to the scriptures. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of Bible study you could do when you're in a car, or not a whole lot of Bible study you could necessarily be doing when you're shaving in the morning. So, you know, there's benefit to all of it. You know, I think the idea of like reading versus studying or listening versus studying, there's kind of nuance to both descriptions, but really it's you know, trying to achieve the same goal in a sense. You know, it's the scriptures are pointing us to Christ. And as we take time in his word in small bits or in large bits, hopefully our walk with him is developing and maturing, and our appreciation for him hopefully is growing.
Yeah. You know, when I see people swerving on the highway and looking at their cell phone, I like to just give them the benefit of the doubt that they're actually doing a Bible study, that they're looking at the scriptures and maybe using their web browser to look up certain things as they're driving. They're probably texting.
We'll let ourselves think that. Maybe it'll make us feel better.
Well, for someone that's struggling to get into the Word, they've wanted to and they just don't know how, or they've tried and kind of failed, or maybe they've, you know, they've found themselves in the graveyard of the 1 year reading plan of Leviticus. You know, what would be your encouragement to someone who is trying to get into being consistent with the Word but is struggling?
So I kind of give the same advice to everybody with this. And I think it's helpful to just kind of step back and not try and do every single thing at once. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, typically, you know, what I'll encourage people to do is, you know, pray that the Holy Spirit will give them understanding into what they're reading. You know, it's like, Lord, open our eyes, help us to understand what mm-hmm. we're reading. You know, don't be intimidated. The Bible is not impossible to understand. And it doesn't have to be learned in a single day. So don't be intimidated by it. You know, take a portion of it. I don't know what your opinion on study Bibles or things like that are, but I do find it helpful to have a couple of them. One of the ones that I like to use is the ESV study Bible. Mm-hmm. And I do have a copy of that I keep digitally on my phone because I like having it with me. But I always tell people, you know, if you're new to the scriptures, if you're just starting out, don't feel like you need to read the whole thing. So I was just talking to somebody who's reading the Bible for the very first time. She just came to faith in Christ and she wants to read the scripture. And so she said, where do I begin? And I said, well, let me give you a few books that I would encourage you to start with. And then after you're done with these, then, you know, you could jump around to some other things. But I encouraged her to read the Gospel of John. I just wanted her to have an understanding of the earthly ministry of Christ and some of the things that he had said. And then I encouraged her to jump into the book of Genesis so that she understood the foundation of things, because so many of the things that's in the good. Scripture reference Genesis. Mm-hmm. You have Genesis, you know, the content of that referenced all over the place. And so it's helpful even just to get a theological understanding or a background understanding of what's actually taking place in the scriptures to read through Genesis.
Yeah.
And then for just some doctrinal fine points, I encouraged her to read the book of Romans and then the book of Ephesians. Mm-hmm. So that's typically where I encourage people to start. Read John, read Genesis, read Romans, read Ephesians. And in general, pick one book of the Bible at a time and read it from beginning to end. When I was a new Christian, I would take the Bible and I would sit at my desk in my bedroom as a teenager. And I would just say, all right, Lord, I don't know where to start. No one was really coaching me on where to start with this. And so I said, all right, Lord, I don't know where to start. So I'm just going to open the Bible up and trust that you're going to show me something. So I'd close my eyes and have my thumbs on the spine of the book. And I'd just kind of run my thumb along the edge and then just open it up. and I would trust that I'd be divinely guided to that section.
The parachute drop method.
Yeah, it was like, just, all right, here we go, Lord, and what do you want me to read? And while that, you know, was certainly an act of faith as a young Christian, I also started to realize over time that a lot of times I'd open up to the middle of a book and I'd have no idea the context or what was going on. And so I didn't get a whole lot out of it sometimes. And so I always encourage people, if you're going to, you know, if you're reading one of these books, start at the beginning and read it to the end. You'll get a lot more out of it. I also think it's helpful to understand how the Bible is organized by section.
You're speaking my language, and everyone who listens to the 10 Week Bible Podcast, they're probably like, oh my gosh, more of this.
But that's, really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That you're,
see,
you're
speaking. We're just meeting each other, but we're in sync here.
Yeah.
But you
know,
it's broken down into sections, and so if we understand how it's organized, it makes it a lot easier to figure out. You've got law, history, poetry, prophecy, gospels, history, Paul's letters, general letters, and then a book of prophecy right at the end. And so if you understand the segments, the fact that it's 66 different individual books, it doesn't seem so jumbled. And again, I just encourage people, you know, just start with a small section. You know, if you want to read the book of John, all right, read John chapter 1 today, or, you know, read the first two chapters or whatever you have time for. But you don't have to read the whole book, you know, in 5 minutes. Just start with a section and then think about it and pray about it and then come back and pick up where you left off. So, you know, in a nutshell, that's the approach that I recommend, that I think is useful. There's probably other approaches that people suggest, but in general, that's kind of, you know, if someone asks me, like, where do I start? What do I do? I feel intimidated by this. That's usually the counsel that I give.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do love study Bibles. If you're trying to study, you know, if you're trying to read without getting, you know, sidetracked and distracted, study Bible isn't the right tool for that. You know, it's kind of like,
right.
You know, it,
if you go down a rabbit
trail, everything looks like a nail. And so don't use the same tool for everything you do. But, you know, if you're actually trying to study and piece together things, the study Bible's great. But it's not the right tool for every situation.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we're closing in here on our time. So, I wanted to just ask you, you know, tell us the things that you've got going on and where people can find out more about you if they want to engage with you, in your ministry, your podcasts and books and things like that. Tell us where, people can find you and how they can get to your stuff.
Sure. My website is desirejesus.com. And that website has basically, you know, each of the resources that I'm in the process of producing. There's links to them there. So there's the informal Bible study that you mentioned. That podcast is there. The Chapter a Day audio Bible is there. You can also find them on iTunes and different other podcast apps. We also have our blog there, and our weekly newsletter, and then a list of the different books that I've had the privilege to write during the years. So there's just a whole, you know, whole bunch of things there. And they tend to focus on the books that I've been working on, tend to focus on either marriage enrichment or understanding the scriptures, or leadership development. Usually those are the three things that I tend to write about. I think at some point here, I'd like to write a little bit more about parenting, but I thought, you know what, I need to wait for my kids to finish growing up, because, you know, if they don't turn out so well, I don't want to have a book out there that that everyone judges me on. So I'll wait until they get a little older, and then I'll kind of sit back and look and say, all right, they worked out. No, they're great kids.
That's great.
I think I'll wait a little bit to write that one. But those are some things that I enjoy writing about and producing. And I really like, and you probably can identify with this too, I think a lot of times people think that that if they interact with a blog post or with a podcast or whatever, that the person producing it probably is never going to notice their comment or never see their email or anything like that. And that's not true at all.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really edified by when people reach out And, you know, I was encouraged by your message the other day when you reached out. And I know you're probably encouraged when people take the time to send you, you know, just a note of encouragement or let you know that they're praying for you. And so
absolutely. Our last name is not Osteen, either one of us.
Exactly.
And so if you send us a message, we're going to see it.
We will see it.
And we'll respond.
Exactly. And it's encouraging. And it reminds me. So the other day I got a letter from someone who lives in the UK, and you know, he was surprised that I wrote back to him. And I thought, no, I mean, this is great. It's nice to know that I've got a brother in Christ in a part of the world that I've never been to. And, you know, maybe someday I'll have the chance to visit, but I haven't yet. And it was just fun just to have, you know, a brief word of conversation, a couple words of encouragement for one another, and to know that someone that lives on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean takes the time to pray for what I'm doing. And likewise,
wow.
He shared with me the other day that he shared the gospel with a coworker and mentioned it to me so that I could be praying for him. Now, I don't know if this side of heaven I'll ever see this guy face to face, but he's praying for me and I'm praying for him, and I really enjoy that. And so there is community with these, you know, with blogging and podcasting and you know, even producing book content. I've noticed that you've been doing that too. And so these are ways that you know, the body of Christ, we're trying to build one another up. We're trying to sharpen one another in the faith and encourage one another, and it's a privilege to do so, for sure.
It is. It's fun hearing from people. And like I said, you know, our name is not Osteen. We don't have, huge mega churches and things like that, where we've got gatekeepers to keep people from reaching us. You know, we do get those emails. So I encourage you, if you've been encouraged by this podcast today, reach out to John and check out some of his stuff and go look at those books and his podcasts and just drop him a line and tell him thanks for being on the show and send him some encouragement, because it really does. It's one of those things where, you know, producing content, you know, for the interwebs, it's fulfilling, but also at the same time, I'm sure you've experienced this, John, you know, when you're recording your podcast and things like that, most of the time you're talking to a microphone, looking at a screen, and you know, yeah. There's not another person on the other end of it. And you get past the weirdness of that pretty quick to be able to do it on a regular basis. But at the same time, it is nice to have that interaction.
Oh, definitely. It definitely is.
Well, that is all the time we have for today. John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Darren, it was a privilege. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Well, if you have any other questions or comments today, don't hesitate to reach out to either John or I. All the links are going to be in the show notes. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.